This is The Wireless, today's best country.
Come and get in.
Oh, there she is, Miranda Lambert, and it's called Baggage Claim. 6 minutes past six with Grant Edwards. From 6 o'clock till nine, you've got me on the Liberty NZ. Liberty NZ Breakfast. I listened to myself yesterday and I was saying Liberty. I was like Jacinda Ardern. She can't say T's either. That's why they changed the name to Jacinda. It was Jacinta. Oh dear, oh dear. Let's have a look at the short forecast, shall we? It's for Northland to Manawatu, also for the Coromandel Peninsula and the Central High Country. Cloudy periods, isolated showers, gale force westerly winds, not southwest, but westerly winds from Coromandel Peninsula and the Central High Country. For the Bay of Plenty, Gisborne and the Wairarapa, fine apart from a few areas of morning cloud in the Bay of Plenty. For Horowhenua, Kapiti Coast to Wellington, fine apart from possible light showers north of Wellington. For Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury, fine weather for you. For Buller, Westland, showers north of Hokitika, easing towards the evening and mainly fine in the south. For Otago, Southland and Fiordland, showers, some heavy in Southland and Clutha this morning. Showers becoming isolated in the afternoon and clearing central and north Otago. Gale force southwesterly winds in exposed places. For the Chatham Islands, showers possibly heavy and thundery in the afternoon. Southwesterly winds rising to gale force in exposed places. And that is the short forecast for the whole country. Look at the highest, the extremes today. The highest is Kaitaia, 14.2 degrees right now, as we speak, at 7 minutes past six. That's quite high, isn't it? Why are you so high up there? I don't know. It's very windy, they tell me. It's pretty much windy right over the whole country. The lowest extreme is minus 3.7 in Twisel. Invercargill, you're the windiest this morning at 61 kilometres, ripping across the plains of Southland there. And Levin, you've got 0.6 millimetres of rain. You're the wettest so far right now. Looking at the temperatures across the whole country, it's not as cold as I thought it was going to be. Blenheim's pretty nippy. Queenstown, you're up at 7. Franz Josef is 2. Blenheim, 1 degree. Or minus 2 in Christchurch. Forgot about that. But the rest of them are all sort of around 9 and 10 degrees. We don't have a reading from Chatham. Someone must have knocked the thermometer. Wellington, 7 degrees. Masterton, I don't know where you put your thermometer, but at 1 degree seems a bit weird. Although Napier, you're at 2. Taupo and Rotorua, it's quite warm there. Must be cloudy or something. And you've got 9 and 10 respectively. For New Plymouth, 13 degrees. Oh, Palmerston North, 7. You're at 7. Tauranga, 12. Auckland, 13. Whangarei, 13. And, of course, Kaitaia, that wonderful 14.2 degrees. It's 8 past 6. You're with Grant Edwards on the Liberty NZ Breakfast. And it's Independence Day today, isn't it? It's the 4th of July, so we might be playing a few independent songs as the morning proceeds. Good morning to you. Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards, Easton Corbin, and Loving You is Fun. How about some 4th of July music at 11 past 6? Amy Mann. She's off to a slow start. Here we go. This is called 4th of July. It's the 4th of July, and this is the Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards. That is Phil Vassar, a very patriotic song. Well, not patriotic. We're not going to be patronising anybody today. It's patriotic. That's what I was after. We're singing songs about the Patriots and about the 4th of July, American Independence Day. On this day in 1776, American Child, that one's called. Let's have a look back here in New Zealand at News Hub. We're looking at the headlines, of course, the Prime Minister, the mongrel mob meetings, alleged staff mistreatment. Chris Hipkins faces ministerial migraine over MP's mishaps. In transport, the government misses the deadline to unveil the alternative Auckland Harbour crossing. And in crime, a teacher had a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old student, finally named in the disciplinary tribunal decision. I don't see that as a crime because he's 16 and he's quite legal, but so it shouldn't be under crime, but it certainly is a terrible situation. Also, Chris Hipkins not comfortable with the youth justice facilities after the second group of teenage escapes, and they escape onto the roof. And now here in crime, a lot of time is single mums, according to this headline, and they have the kids, and child crime investigator reveals warning signs of grooming. In Canterbury, a pair face court after police seize more than 1.2 kilograms of meth and firearms in Christchurch. And absolutely tragic, Maori public health experts, they call for urgent action to reduce alcohol-related damage. And overseas, the Madeleine McCann, or Madeleine McCann, I think that's a terrible thing. Gosh, that's gone on for a long time. And this fellow that they've got, they're holding at the moment, if someone says that, I think it was a friend of his or someone that knew him, said he can open any door. Yes, that's an ex-friend of the prime suspect. He claims he used to pick locks, and he had pick lock tools to abduct missing children. That's what is said there. Some other funny thing about parenting, which seems too ridiculous to even mention. And this one here, ahui. And ahui is a New Zealand word, a Maori word for a meeting, I would say. And apparently it's a boom time for Maori developers. Now's the time for Maori to get into Aotearoa. Where's that? Oh, New Zealand. That's right, it is. It's in New Zealand. And it was never ever called Aotearoa. In fact, Aotearoa is an invention, a European invention, if you know anything about history. And that's the truth of that one. But Maori want to get into gaming and the tech sector. Also, if you have a look at, there's been some, you could go and have a look. I think there's, I don't know, was that yesterday or today? But there are some videos there on News Hub, and one of them is to watch So Deeply Patronising, according to Schwabik. She fires back at Seymour in the heated rental market debate. That's going to be a disaster for landlords and for the people that will end up being really worse affected. The most affected people are going to be the tenants themselves, because there's not going to be enough proper rental accommodation for people, because a lot of landlords are just saying, oh, stuff this, I'm getting out of that. And also I hear that some landlords are looking to rent to buyers instead, so that they don't come under the Tenancy Tribunal Act, and they just have a sale and purchase agreement and offer the property for sale or for rent. They can rent to buy it, and it's on a sale and purchase agreement, so that's one way around it. And but I suppose the communists will probably plug that loophole as well. It's not really a loophole, it's the way it's been done for years, actually. People have bought properties, you know, where they've gone in on a maybe 3-year term, especially good for people that are buying. And sometimes, okay, normally it works well for both parties before you enter into something like that, but that's a rent to buy. So that's something that probably New Zealand will start looking at with these draconian measures, unless we get a change of government. But I don't know, are they going to be any better? I don't know. It could be worse. Who knows? I think we need a complete change. I think good people need to get into both parties and revamp them, but that's going to take years. That really will take an awful long time to change them around, and you're fighting against the globalists, which is going to be very difficult. And then you've got a media too, which is going to be against you. I mean, look, what Trump came in, and they just hated him right from the very start. They loved him until he went into politics, but then, because they knew he wasn't a globalist, and they thought, everyone was saying, look, we've got to stop this guy, stop him at all, just throw everything at him, everything, we've got to make sure that he doesn't get into become president. And of course he did, and that really stuffed everything up. So they had to muck around with the elections in 2020, didn't they? It's the only way they could get him in. There's no way that Biden got in. He got more votes than Obama. That's just absolute nonsense. Let's see what else is happening there on that. That's the headlines for News Hub anyway, and we'll have a look a bit later on at what's happening with Stuffed. Yes, let's play some more. That Stuff, the newspaper, well, not really a newspaper. It was Suburban Newspapers. It used to be in, I think, well, they still are, but they put everything all online now, and they call it Stuff. I don't know why they would do that. Such a stupid thing. Let's have a listen to Thomas Rhett and another patriotic song. It's 25 past six. You're on the Liberty NZ 4th of July breakfast. We still have any listeners left? Oh, of course we do. We all love Johnny Cash, don't we? And you're listening to the Liberty NZ Breakfast. It's the 4th of July breakfast today. Happy birthday to you if you're having a wonderful birthday on this day. Johnny Cash, the battle hymn of the Republic, of course that was. Coming up, we've got some more Republican songs, some patriotic songs, I keep getting that wrong, don't I? Ray Charles, we've got Don McLean, Dolly Parton, and Katy Perry even is in there, as well as Kenny Chesney and Lee Greenwood, all with some wonderful patriotic songs about the about American independence from Great Britain, from the tyranny of England, tyranny of London. Yes, it's awful. Let's have a look at Stuff now and see what's going on their front page of stuff.co.nz. Am I at the beginning? Yes. How Auckland's rate rise stacks up against the rest of the the rest of New Zealand. Aucklanders are about to be hit with a 7.7% increase in household rates. It's the biggest hike in 13 years, but I think old Brown's done a good job to keep it at that low level, trying to sell things off, and he really is. I think he's working really very hard, that man, and although the media don't like him, but I do quite like him. But there are other parts of the country that have got blowouts altogether. I think there are some, I think one of them, I can't remember where it was, I read that was they were looking at a 23% rate increase. Terrible. And there's a story here about a family that is debt-free, they're houseless, debt-free and thriving on the road. They're driving around in a van, and the father says even when their two boys are in their late teens, the couple say they'd rather buy them an extra van than live back in suburbia. That story there on Stuff. Also, Luxon on politics. He goes to on a tour of Tawa, and here's what he found. The national leader hit the main street to talk about the living cost of living crime with the voters, and he received some blunt campaign advice. And in national news, and a woman is in Auckland. She's fighting a five-month fight for a refund for her face filler. A North Shore pharmacy suddenly closed, owing $347,000, leaving staff out of pocket and a woman disappointed with her face. And La Nina and El Nino explained when will heavy rain end. A new climate driver is on the way, and scientists say it could bring drier weather conditions to Northland. More rubbish. Down here, it says in the Bay of Plenty, it's the worst traffic can't be fixed with bikes. Yeah, New Zealand's worst traffic can't be fixed with bikes, according to one advocate. Decades of planning missteps have got one New Zealand city to a point where overseas experts need to sort it out, says one designer. And demand for loans tells the story in business. It's a business tells the story of recession, deciphering a recession of haves and have-nots through demand for six types of loans. That story there at stuff.co.nz. And climate change, they've got a heading called climate change, which is climate changes all the time. Of course, we know that. And it's got nothing to do with man. The fact that we're here at the time of all the change doesn't mean to say that we've caused it. And this story is just ridiculous. Why lab meat could one day taste of beef and lamb? No, thank you. Not interested in that. And that's the front page of Stuff. Let's get back to some patriotic music. And here's Simon and Garfunkel. It's 25 to 7 with Grant Edwards on the Liberty NZ 4th of July breakfast. The Liberty NZ breakfast with Grant Edwards, the none other than Ray Charles. And America, the Beautiful. Great, I enjoyed that. I've got a few more patriotic songs coming up for you in just a moment. It's 24 minutes to 7. And, who do we have before then? That's right, Simon and Garfunkel, and that was just called America as well. Let's keep the music rolling, shall we? And after 7 o'clock, we'll have a look at On This Day in History. We'll probably do that around about 7:30, thereabouts. This is another great song, that good one to play on this day, 4th of July.
Time ago, this will be the day that I die.
It's 9 to 8, Dolly Parton, Colour Me America.
I am red. There will always be wars and rumors of wars as long as time lasts, and we'll always fight to protect our families and our home and our homeland. It's all for God and country, no matter what country we find ourselves in. We are all God's children. And God, again, we ask your blessings upon our troops and upon America, and we pray for peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And we ask that you deliver us from evil in whatever form it might.
You're listening to the Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards. The Liberty NZ Breakfast and Liberty, I said it again, I know to say Liberty and I can say it, it is possible, but you have all these people around you saying Liberty, 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 and it's hard, when you say it fast too, it's not an easy one, it's like Grant Tedwoods, you know, Grant Edwards. Everybody says Grant Tedwards, and I think I even say it myself. It's bang on 7 o'clock. You're with the Liberty NZ Breakfast. I better get that right, hadn't I? Katy Perry there with another patriotic song called Firework. And right after the weather, which I'm about to give you now for the whole country, I'm going to play Miley Cyrus, Party in the USA. We've also got Kenny Chesney, Lee Greenwald, Martina McBride to a wonderful track called Independence Day. That's coming up as well. And if you want to hear Whitney Houston, stay with us, because around about half past seven, we'll be having her singing the national anthem. That is Whitney Houston. Sad story about her life. But what a great voice she was. What a beautiful looking woman, and what a wonderful voice she had as well. Fantastic. And a great actress as well. I think she was in Bodyguard, wasn't she? Yeah, it was all about her. Let's have a look at the short forecast now for the whole country. I hope I've got my microphone on. Yes, I have. You'll let me know, won't you? You'll ring me at Wellington 04-8890-225. 8890225 if I have not got the microphone on. And I think what I did was I muted the microphone on OBS. I think it's OBS. Is that what it's called? OBS, that's the one that we stream out with. We've just started using that now that we're doing some things on Rumble. And do friend us, won't you, whatever you call it. Subscribe to us. And yeah, that'd be great. We need all the subscribers we can get. We've only just started, and so I don't really promote the program at all. It's mainly, most of our listeners come from Canada, actually, because they like Canadian, well, the Canadians obviously like country music, and next on the list is the Americans on the West Coast. Believe it or not, they're real fans of country music. And then we have very few New Zealand listeners compared to the ones in Canada and in the United States, and we go out on Radio Mast over there. We're also on Streamer, we're on Simple Radio, but the best one to get us on here is our own website, which is thewireless.nz. But better yet, if you've got your phone, why not just use the Zeno radio app? That's Z-E-N-O, or if you're American, Z-E-N-O, just grab that. It's a great app. Yep, why not? It's easy to use, and I like it. And sometimes it sort of lags behind, but you just restart it, and you just push the up button or whatever it is, backwards button, and then it'll come up with a yes or no. Make sure you do that, because that resets the whole program. It's sort of like a reboot, or and then that way you can be up to date, because sometimes when you get too far behind, when it's lagging, it'll start to jump trying to catch up, and it doesn't sound very good. And also, I guess if you're listening on I've only just figured this out, actually, if you're listening on Rumble, it starts at the very beginning, so you come in and I'm telling the time, and it's, you know, like 2 hours ago. So I don't know why it's doing that. That was this morning. I thought it just, you just come in and you just pick up where I am when it's a live broadcast, but apparently that's not the case. Let's look at the weather now. It's 2 minutes past seven on the Liberty NZ Breakfast, 4th of July. And a lot of people, oh gosh, I'm raving on, aren't I? A lot of Americans, my American friends, they say, no, we're not celebrating it today. We're waiting till tomorrow, and we'll celebrate it with our friends and family on the 5th of July. So that happens as well for people that I know. But we're doing it today. It's the 4th of July for us. And so let's look at the short forecast, shall we? And that is valid until midnight tonight from Northland to Manawatu, also for the Coromandel Peninsula and the Central High Country. Cloudy periods with isolated showers, gale force westerlies from Coromandel Peninsula to the Central High Country. For the Bay of Plenty, Gisborne, Hawke's Bay and the Wairarapa, fine weather for you, apart from a few areas of morning cloud in the Bay of Plenty. For Horowhenua, Kapiti Coast and Wellington, fine weather, apart from the possible light shower or two north of Wellington. For Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury, you've got a wonderful fine day for you today. For Buller, Westland, you've got showers north of Hokitika, easing towards the evening, mainly fine in the south. For Otago, Southland and Fiordland, showers, some heavy in Southland and Clutha this morning. Showers becoming isolated in the afternoon and clearing central and northern North Otago. Gale force southwesterly winds in exposed places for Otago, Southland and Fiordland. For the Chatham Islands, cloudy and showers, possibly heavy and thundery this afternoon. Southwesterly winds rising to gale forces. Gale force in exposed places. And the extended forecast for Wednesday for the North Island, isolated showers in the west from... but mainly fine elsewhere. For this, For the South Island, showers on the south and west easing. I think my eye must have skipped down about a few lines and picked up a word. Mostly fine elsewhere, though, on Wednesday for the South Island. For Thursday, generally fine in the North Island. Any remaining showers in the west and south clearing. Isolated showers about the east of the North Island for a time, but it looks like the rest of the country is pretty good, except for those few showers in the north. Looking ahead to Friday, for the North Island, periods of rain or showers developing in the western and northern areas, and cloud increasing elsewhere. In the South Island, cloud increasing and occasional rain developing in the north and west later in the day. And the extended forecast for the Chatham Islands, occasional showers, heavy at times, clearing on Friday, but you've got gale force or westerly or southwesterly winds. That'll be easing on Friday. That is the extended forecast. It's 5 minutes past seven. You're listening to the Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards. Oh, goodness me, Liberty NZ Breakfast. It's Grant Edwards here. And did I say Liberty? I think I might have said Liberty again. Sorry about that, folks. I've got Lee Greenwald. He's coming up singing God Bless the USA. It's 14 minutes past 7. And at 7:30, round about then, we'll be having This Day in History. So if you're having a birthday today, born on the 4th of July, congratulations. And we'll be letting you know who else was born on the 4th of July and what incredible events, starting with the 1776 declaration as well. So let's get on with the music. 14 minutes past, and here's Lee Greenwood. Yes, Mr. Greenwood. Welcome to the Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards.
Twas grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home.
I feel good. He does feel good, James Brown, none other than James Brown, living in America, and you're listening to the Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards. Before that, we had Martina McBride with Independence Day. And, of course, Lee Greenwood singing God Bless America. God bless you all. 25 minutes past 7 with Grant Edwards. Coming up next, a little message from Operation People. And then we'll have a look on this day in history and see what's going down. Let's see what's going down, man.
Remember how we're all in this together and how the government was so nice that instead of taxing us more for our petrol, they gave us a discount on the new fuel taxes they had planned? Well, turns out they were just printing more money to cover their own expenses. Now the invoices are due and the government needs to collect more taxes in order to pay for their consultants and our bloated civil service. This means that the fuel tax discount will end in June and we will have to pay 25 cents more per litre of petrol in the middle of rampant inflation and a cost of living crisis. The Finance Minister Grant Robertson claims this is necessary to achieve a more fiscally careful budget. But he's the same person who doubled the national debt in just 2 years. Why aren't other options, such as cutting unproductive government jobs, being considered? It's time for the media to start asking the tough questions and holding this ridiculous government accountable.
Well, it is the 4th of July, and if you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you. Of course, we know that in the year of our Lord, 1776, the first US Congress proclaims the Declaration of Independence and independence from Great Britain. In 1785, James Hutton, he's a geologist, he reads an abstract of his theory of uniformitarianism for the first time at a meeting of the Royal Society in Edinburgh. In 1803, Louisiana Purchase is announced to the American people by President Thomas Jefferson. In 1838, on this day, Huskar Colliery, the mining disaster. Oh, I struggle with that word, I don't know. Probably because I've never said it before. It actually just means a mine, doesn't it, with all the bits and pieces that go with it. That happened in Silkstone, England. There was a big disaster there, and the pit floods, and it drowned 26 children, and it leads to the 1842 Mines and Collieries Corriers Act. Man, that's a hard one to say. It bans women and children working underground. In 1934, Hungarian physicist Leo Szilard, he patents the chain reaction design to the atomic bomb. On this day in 2017, North Korea tests for the first time a successful intercontinental ballistic missile. They fired it into the Sea of Japan. I bet the Japs weren't too happy about that. In 1970, on this day, Casey Kasem's American Top 40 debuts on LA radio. And also in music, in 1831, America, My Country, Tis of Thee, with a lyric by Samuel Francis Smith, has its first public performance at Park Street Church in Boston, Massachusetts. In sport, in 1939 on this day, Lou Gehrig, he's the first MLB player to have his number 4 jersey retired on this day, the appreciation day, that's his appreciation day, at Yankee Stadium, and he makes his iconic luckiest man speech. Let's hear that.
The news of Gehrig's illness stunned the country. And on July 4th, a huge, sad crowd packed Yankee Stadium to pay tribute to their beloved hero. Babe Ruth came back, and the two old teammates ended their long feud. Manager Joe McCarthy presented him with a trophy. At first, Gehrig was too moved to speak.
For the past 2 weeks, you've been reading about a bad brag. Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. That I might have been given a bad break, but I've got an awful lot to live for. Thank you.
He died 2 years later of what is now called Lou Gehrig's disease.
Also, did you know that Howard Florey and Norman Heatley meet for the first time, and within 2 weeks, just 11 days later, they successfully recreate penicillin on this day in 1941. Famous birthdays today, and you're sharing it with Giuseppe Garibaldi. He was born in 1807. Let's have a little look at him. He's a unifier of Italy. That's what he's known as. Giuseppe, he was the central figure in the Italian Risorgimento, the political and social movement that consolidated different states of the Italian peninsula into the single nation of Italy in the 19th century. Known for his exceptional leadership and military tactics, he's often referred to as one of Italy's fathers of the fatherland. Garibaldi's patriotic zeal, it was kindled during the early involvement, or his early involvement, with the nationalist Carbonari movement, which sought Italian unification. After a failed uprising and a death sentence in absentia, Garibaldi went to exile in South America in the 1830s. Here he gained considerable military experience and earned the nickname of the Hero of Two Worlds. His military expertise would prove crucial upon his return to Italy in 1848, when revolutions were sweeping across Europe. He led a volunteer force in the First Italian War of Independence and later played a crucial role in the defence of the Roman Republic against the French forces in 1849. Perhaps Garibaldi's most celebrated contribution to the Italian unification came in 1860 with the expedition of the Thousand. He led a volunteer army known as the Red Shirts in a successful campaign to conquer the kingdom of the Two Sicilies. The victory paved the way for an annexation of Sardinia a major step towards the formation of a unified Italy. Born on this day, July 4th, in Nice, French, first French Empire, and he made it all the way to 74 years old when he finally kicked the bucket. That is Giuseppe Garibaldi. James Anthony Bailey, he is born on this day in 1847. He's a circus showman and a businessman. He's best known as the co-founder of the Barnum and Bailey Circus with fellow circus impresario P.T. Barnum. Bailey was orphaned at the age of 8 and was employed in the circus industry as a teenager. At 25, he became the manager of the Cooper and Bailey Circus, during which time he met Barnum. The success of the Barnum and Bailey brand, which included exhibiting such animals as Jumbo the elephant, which Bailey was instrumental in acquiring, ensured the long success of their circus, which operated until 2017. After his death in 1906, his widow sold the brand to Ringling Brothers, who merged the two circuses together in 1919. Born on this day in Detroit, Michigan, and that is James Anthony Bailey, if you're wondering who he was. Calvin Coolidge, born in 1872. He was the 30th U.S. president. He was a Republican. He was also a vice president, the governor of Massachusetts, and lieutenant governor of Massachusetts. His term of president was in the office as president was August the 2nd, 1923, until March the 4th, 1929. He was preceded by Warren G. Harding and succeeded by Herbert Hoover. Coleridge was widely known as the Silent Cal for his reserved nature. He was elected governor of Massachusetts in 1918. He gained national attention for his strong handling of the 1919 Boston police strike. He was nominated as Republican vice president and elected to the office with President Harding. He unexpectedly became president upon Harding's death in 1923. Coleridge was elected in his own right in 1924. His term of office reflects his belief in small government, which is great. He twice vetoed a farm subsidies bill and reduced taxes. In 1924, he signed a Citizen Act granting Native Americans full citizenship. Excellent. Well done. Though historians are divided on his presidency, he left office with considerable popularity and is viewed as having restored confidence to the government after the scandals of preceding administrations. Born on the 4th of July, 1872, in Plymouth Notch, Vermont, in the USA. He only made it to 60, though. He had a coronary thrombosis and passed away in 1933. So that's him. That's Calvin the Cool. He's Cool Calvin. And George Murphy, born on this day in 1902. He's an actor and also a U.S. senator. He appeared in many big-budget musicals, starring in more than 45 films, and was elected to represent California in the U.S. Senate in 1964. He was born on this day, 1902, New Haven, Connecticut, and he made it all the way to 89 when apparently he passed away of leukemia. That is George Murphy. Also, let's have a look at some gangsters who were born on this day. You're sharing it with a gangster, Meyer Lansky. He was born in 1902. He was the mobster and a financier. He is American citizen, nationality, although Belarusian and also Polish, instrumental in the development of the National Crime Syndicate in the USA. He was born in Grodno, Belarus, in the Russian Empire, and he made it all the way to 80. Gloria Stewart, she was born in 1910 on this day. Of course, her Hollywood career spanned with a very long break in the middle, though. 1932 it spanned from until 2004, where she appeared on stage and television and film, for which she was best known in the film. She appeared as Claude Rains' sweetheart in The Invisible Man, and I don't know if I can remember that, and as the elderly Rose Dawson Calvert in the Academy Award-winning film Titanic. She was the oldest person to be nominated in a supporting role for the competitive Oscar for her role in Titanic, aged 87. Well done. Born in Santa Monica, California, on the 4th of July, 1910. She made it till she was 100 years old, so she passed away in 2010 in September at 100. Well done. She looks terrific. Looking at a photograph of her here, she's just looks wonderful. She's obviously did something right. Also, Alfredo Di Stefano, he was born on this day in 1926. So he's an Argentine and also Spaniard. He is considered one of the best footballers of all time. And after playing the first 12 years of his career in Argentina, He played for Argentina and Colombia. Then he moved to Spain, signing with the powerhouse Real Madrid club. That was one of the most successful teams of all time, and he scored 216 league goals in 282 games for La Blancos. That's what they called it, Los Blancos, I should say. He also scored a 5 consecutive European Cup finals for the Real, that's the Real Madrid team. That was between 1956 and 1960, and struck up a famous partnership with the Hungarian star, Pukask. And he was awarded the Ballon d'Or, I think that's how you say it, for the European Footballer of the Year in 1957, and also again in 1959. An international footballer, Di Stefano, he earned 6 caps. I'd rather have cups, but he earned caps. That's what they do over there. That was for his native Argentina. 4 for Colombia and 31 for Spain. He had a mixed career in management, but guided Boca Juniors to an Argentine league title and also won La Liga and the European Cup winners, which that was in Valencia. Born on this day in 1926 in Buenos Aires in Argentina. 1926. Wow, that's great, isn't it? And who else have we got that's famous there? Neil Simon. He was born in 1927. He's a playwright and a screenwriter. As one of America's most prolific playwrights, and his plays include Barefoot in the Park, 1963, and The Odd Couple in 65. They've dominated Broadway since the 1960s. Neil Simon has received more combined Oscars and Tony nominations than any other writer, and he is the only playwright to have had 4 Broadway plays running at the same time. Born on this day in the Bronx, New York, 4th of July, 1927. That is our man, Neil Simon. Now, George Steinbrenner. George Steinbrenner was born in 1930. If you're wondering who he is an American, and he's the owner of the New York Yankees. During his 37-year ownership from 1973 to his death in July 2010, the longest in club history, the Yankees earned 7 World Series titles and 11 pennants. His outspokenness and role in driving up players' salaries made him one of the sport's most controversial figures. He had a tendency to meddle in the daily on-field decisions and to hire and fire managers. Born in Rocky River, Ohio, 4th of July, 1930. And that is George Steinbrenner. Bill Withers, of course, needs no introduction. He is a rhythm and blues musician. He wrote and performed the Ain't No Sunshine and Lean On Me, and he was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2005 and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2015. It was the Rock and Roll. Born in Slab Fork, West Virginia, 4th of July, 1938, and he lived to 81, then he had heart complications. That's a shame. Bill Withers, and also a man who's still alive is Henri Leconte, and he's having his 60th birthday today. He's a French tennis player, best known for reaching the men's singles final at the French Open in 1988. His career high, singles ranking world number 5, so that's him. Born in France, in Lille, on the 4th of July, 1963. Yep, he's still going good. And also Post Malone, I wasn't even going to talk about him. He is, he's having a 28th birthday today. I went in there and I thought, oh, he's a singer-songwriter, very good. His full name is Austin Richard Post, and it said rapper, I thought, I forget that. But then I read on, yes, so he's a rapper, singer-songwriter, and a record producer. Post Malone calls himself, the style of his music, he calls it a genreless. Malone's father was a DJ and growing up introduced his son to a number of different music styles, including country. Now that got my attention, hip-hop and rock. And Malone's own music style is a melting pot of these and other genres. In 2015, Post gathered attention for his single White Iverson after uploading the song to SoundCloud and later released a video for it. Post went on to work for Kanye West after playing with Kylie Jenner's, or playing at her birthday party. In 2016, Malone also worked with Justin Bieber, appearing at his opening act on the Bieber's Purpose World Tour. And Malone released his own studio album called Stony. That was at the end of 2016. His follow-up album, Beer Bongs and Bentleys, came in 2018. His second record included the number one hit Rockstar, featuring 21 Savage and Psycho, and was nominated for Album of the Year at the Grammys. His third album, Hollywood's Bleeding, was released late 2019. He was born on this day in Syracuse, New York, July the 4th, 1995, and I got a track from him. Let's play that. Welcome to the Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards. The Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards and a group called Home Free and My Country, Tis of Thee, wonderful hymn. Still to come, we've got Brooks and Dunn, John Mellencamp, the Beach Boys, Chuck Berry, and the Zach Isaac Band, as well as Taylor Smith. She's got a song that's patriotic, is she? Oh, okay. Oh, I don't know about that. Maybe she hasn't. Maybe I've run out of patriotic songs. But tell you what, we did mention a guy called Bill Withers, didn't we? He was born on this day in 1938 in Slab Fork, West Virginia. And he wrote and performed Ain't No Sunshine and Lean On Me. And he was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2005 and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2015. He's, of course, best known for rhythm and blues. Yep, 7 minutes to 8. Let's hear a track from Bill Withers.
Ain't no sunshine.
The Liberty NZ Breakfast 4th of July program this morning. Now, you probably think, is that Frankie Valli? Sounds like him with a high voice. No, it's not. It is the Beach Boys, for those of you that know all about the 60s and 70s. Did you know that Glen Campbell filled in for one of the Beach Boys as well? He did. He's a very good guitarist. Can't read a note, as far as I know. But boy, can he play by ear, and can he sing, or could he sing as well? Let's have a look and see what is happening with national news, and then we'll check out the weather for the. We'll do the short forecast and let you know what weather's happening in your part of the country, in part of New Zealand. First of all, Israeli troops hit drone strikes. They hit Jenin in the West City, West Bank operation. That has just happened, actually. Jenin on the West Bank. Israeli forces hit the city of Jenin with drone strikes earlier today, Monday their time. It says on Monday, so that must have been late. One of the biggest West Bank... Well, what's today? Oh, that's the trouble when you live on your own, you never know what day it is. So it's Monday their time, Tuesday our time. And it's one of the biggest West Bank operations in 20 years, according to these reports. It's killed at least 8 Arabs and involves hundreds of troops in sporadic gun battles, and that is continuing well into the evening. It's raging right now as I speak. And Elon Musk moved to temporarily cap how many posts Twitters can read on the social media site, and that could undermine efforts by his new CEO Linda Yaccarino to attract advertisers, marketing industry professionals are saying. And also Leon Gauthier, he is the last surviving member of the French commando unit that waded ashore on D-Day alongside Allied troops to begin the battle, the liberation of France. He died earlier today. He was 100 years old. Well done, Leon. Fantastic. Leon Gauthier. Wonderful. Apple said earlier today that it will ask the US Supreme Court to hear its challenge to a judge's order in an antitrust case brought by the Fortnite, that's the maker, Epic Games, that could force the iPhone maker to change payment practices in its app store. And also, US manufacturing slumped further in June, reaching levels that last seen when the nation was reeling from the initial wave of the COVID-19 pandemic, or plandemic, I call it. But I shouldn't do that, should I? I shouldn't get in the way of the news. But price pressures at the factory gate continue to deflate, a silver lining for the economy. And that is the news, the international news, the news wire brought to you by Reuters, courtesy of me. It's 3 minutes past 8. Let's have a look at the national news for New Zealand. Do we have a new one? The last one I got was at 7 o'clock, so I doubt they've got a new one. So I'll have a quick, just let me have a quick refresh in case it's brand new, that something might have changed, some climate thing might have happened. Some climate change. Highest temperature at the moment is Kaitaia. You've got 14.3 degrees. Twizel, you're on -3.1 degrees. You're the lowest. Invercargill is the windiest with 63 kilometres of wind, and the wettest is in Westport. You've got 2 millimetres of rain falling as we speak. The short forecast for Northland to Manawatu, including the Coromandel Peninsula and the Central High Country, cloudy periods and isolated showers, gale force westerlies for Coromandel Peninsula and the Central High Country. For the Bay of Plenty, Gisborne, Hawke's Bay and the Wairarapa, fine apart from a few areas of morning cloud in the Bay of Plenty. For Horowhenua, Kapiti Coast and Wellington, fine apart from possible light showers north of Wellington. For Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury, fine. Fine weather for you. For Buller, Westland, showers north of Hokitika, easing towards the evening, mainly fine in the south. For Otago, Southland and Fiordland, showers, some heavy in Southland and Clutha this morning. Showers becoming isolated in the afternoon and clearing central and north Otago. Gale force southwesterly winds are in exposed places. And for the Chatham Islands, showers possibly heavy and thundery this afternoon. Where are southwesterly winds rising to gale force in exposed places. It's 4 minutes past eight. You're with the Grant Edwards Liberty NZ Breakfast. And why don't we hear another track from Brooks and Dunn? This is another patriotic song on this 4th of July.
Bah.
Okay. Bah. And that is Reba. I don't know how that got into the playlist, but there it is. It's 27 minutes past 8. You're on the Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards. That was Reba McEntire. Before that, we had Taylor Swift, of course, and the Zac Brown Band. Yeah, well, let's have a look at the international news. I think I called it the national news earlier. The latest headlines are from Kiev, and this is a Reuters report. The Russian drone strike attacked and killed at least 2 people, injuring 19, in the northern Ukrainian city of Sumy. That was earlier today, and prompting US President Volodymyr Zelensky to call for a major upgrade to anti-aircraft defences. And American Ambassador to Russia Lynn Tracy was granted access earlier today to jailed Wall Street Journal reporter Ivan Gishkovich. Yes, that's his name, Gishkovich, the US State Department said, in the second such visit since his pretrial and detention in March on espionage charges that he denies. And in Kiev, Ukraine said today its troops have regained more ground. I wouldn't believe a word of this. I seriously wouldn't. If you want to know what's really happening, you've got to go and see Colonel Douglas McGregor. You've got to listen to him on YouTube. He'll give you a bit of an idea. And also Alexander Mercuris as well. Alexander Mercuris. Mercuris is spelled Mercuris, if you want to really know the actual ins and outs of what's happening, because what we're getting now, because it's all part of warfare, isn't it? And that is the media, they're involved in it. But this is what they say, but I would take it with a grain of salt, because as far as I can tell, Russia has absolutely decimated the Ukrainian army. And I would think that the people that are training the Ukrainians, if they might be keeping it from the people. We've got New Zealand Defence Force personnel, quite a lot of them, also Australians and the Canadians. We're all helping to train Ukrainians to be cannon fodder for NATO. And so it's very, very, it's really sad. But so if you want the truth, Colonel Douglas McGregor, he was a former advisor to the White House under the Trump administration. He's got a better idea of what's going on than what I'm going to be telling you here on this report from Reuters. So take it with a grain of salt. Ukraine said today that its troops had regained more ground along the eastern and southern fronts in what President Volodymyr Zelensky, the actor, describes in progress as progress in a difficult week for Kiev's counteroffensive against the Russian forces. I think the next story is far more believable, and that is France's last surviving D-Day commando. He dies age 100 earlier today, New Zealand time. Leon Gauthier, he is the last surviving member of the French commando unit that waded ashore on D-Day in World War II alongside Allied troops to begin the liberation of France. He died earlier today, New Zealand time. He was 100 years old. Also, a video sharing website, BitChute, is raising $10 million, a Series A funding, at a valuation of $750 million to $1 billion, according to one of its investors, and a presentation seen by Reuters as it seeks to add new features and allow live streaming. Oh, that'll be good. and the payment of content creators. That's good. So that's really overdue, because people will run off to Rumble, which seems to be the best at the moment as far as not having your content removed like YouTube do, because they've got agreements with the governments, the communist governments all over the Western world, which seem to be running the show at the moment. Also in Washington, US President Joe Biden, he has nominated Virginia Solicitor General Andrew Ferguson and Utah Solicitor General Melissa Holyoke. I should know that name. I was thinking of something else as I was saying it. I haven't actually read any of this, so it's all off the cuff. And they're going to fill the Republican slots at the Federal Trade Commission, the White House said earlier today. And in Tunisia, a man stabbed a National Guard officer in the La Grolette suburb of the capital of Tunis. The Interior Ministry said earlier today, the second such attack targeting police in 2 weeks. So there'll probably be a Muslim attack there. La Golette, yeah, La Golette it is. Yep. Okay. And in Peru will declare an emergency status in the area around the Ubinas volcano in the southern region of Moguegura. I think I've got that one right. I'm sorry if I've mashed it up. The Prime Minister said earlier today, as the country's most active volcano has been spewing ash for several days. And that's the international news brought to you by Reuters and The Grunter here at the Liberty NZ Breakfast. It's the 4th of July, 27 past 8. And who have I got coming up? I've got Keith Urban. Let's listen to the wonderful Keith Urban. And this is Without You. Without You. The Liberty NZ Breakfast with Grant Edwards, the 4th of July today, 4th of July, and that's our Breakfast 4th of July special. And if you joined me at 6 o'clock, you would have heard wall-to-wall patriotic songs from the United States, all talking about how wonderful America is, and it is wonderful too. It's the last bastion of freedom. New Zealand's, I think, almost, we're actually now, I consider myself reporting inside globalist-controlled, communist globalist-controlled New Zealand. So that I feel like I'm sort of on the inside reporting out to the free world. And America still is free. They're fighting hard for it. And hopefully they'll have a change of government and get the communists out altogether. It's going to be a tough fight, especially with the electoral fraud. I hope it's not going on here in New Zealand. Although in 2020, it's hard to believe that 13 electorates in the South Island all went with Labour, a very strong national area. With strong national seats, and it's just I couldn't believe it really that happened. And it makes you think that perhaps there is something dodgy going on with our electoral system. There needs to be a change. I think that some of the more techie people would say that we need to have blockchain, something like that, I think, where things can't be fiddled with. So just having I think our stuff does go online too. All those votes, they're counted by hand. And then the information, it does get fed into a computer, and goodness knows what happens to it. How would we know? And so there needs to be, I think there needs to be an independent inquiry into the New Zealand electoral system, that's for sure. And also mail-in ballots. There's a lot of people pushing for mail-in ballots, and that would be a really crazy thing. It's happening already in the local body electorates, and they've got a woman there who's pretty keen to bring in the voting machines. Her name is Marguerite Dalbay. I think that's how you say her name. She is from Paris, and she has worked for the United Nations, and she's heavily involved in elections and has been from a young age all over the world where there's been some big changes. She was there in South Africa when Nelson Mandela was elected president, and some would say that is a bit dodgy. So she's been all over the place. So she's pushing for voting machines, and I think that would be the worst thing. And the fact that she's was an employee, or whether she was paid, I don't know. They say that they're volunteers, don't they? But really, when you've come from the United Nations and then into New Zealand, into the Justice Department and other departments around in Wellington, in bureaucracy, it makes me very suspicious of these people. We don't really know who they are. I think we have been infiltrated by a lot of globalist thinkers, people that are collectivist, and have, whether they realise that what they're actually promoting is totalitarianism, I don't know. But it's very dodgy. We cannot have voting machines here in this country. They have to be counted either by hand, or they need to go on the blockchain where it's all out in the open. Everybody can see it. And it's the best way to do it. I don't know anything about it, but people like Omo and my other friend, as well, another guy that talked to me about it, first introduced me to the blockchain. He says that is the way that we should be going. But of course, the politicians, they don't want to speak about it. They do not want to know anything about it. Let's have a look at our friends over at nznewsessentials.com. You can find them at nznewsessentials.com. And I was speaking to Luke the other day, and they're very excited about their new, centrist. It's called, you can find that at centrist.com.co.nz, I think it is, pretty sure it is, and also the centrist, that's with the definite article, .co.nz, but this one is nznewsessentials.com, and this story here, the government is making sure free speech doesn't get out of control. The brief for this is that the government is pushing for more legislation to be able to control the online universe, and there's no telling how the government will actually apply the legislation, and it could vary considerably based on the people involved. The implied threat of censorship is being hanging over the government's detractors. Of course, any kind of emergency can justify tightening of the airwaves. That story there you can read in full at NZ News Essentials. It's 25 to 9. You're with Grant Edwards on the Liberty NZ Breakfast. Good morning.
Jake, why are you answering?
But you kiss me when you're drunk.
Oh, that's not so good, is it? The Liberty NZ Breakfast. You kiss me when you're drunk. I might not put you back on. That's Jake Owen and Alone With You, and Kenny Chesney, of course, before that. Oh, no, we didn't have him. I didn't play him. I might play him a little bit later on. I flicked him out of the way. I'm going to have Jana Kramer. I'm sorry. Yep, we're all over the show with words today. What did you think of the song I played, an old one from back in 2010 with Taylor Swift, a song called Mean? Did you like that one? Did you? Give us a call on Wellington 04889 0225 and let me know whether you think what we're playing today. It's all 2011, 12 and 13. That was after we got rid of all the, well, not got rid of, but played all that patriotic stuff from 6 o'clock on. And just about half an hour ago, we started just getting back to a country mix of songs that came out in the 10s, 11s, 12s. And I'm working on the 13s, 2013s as well. Also, people have been telling me that we've been dropping out quite a lot, and I've managed to find out what's going on there. I actually saw it happen just a moment ago. Vodafone, or they're now called One New Zealand, they seem to be just chopping us on and off. I'm not sure what's happening. So that's just the way it is. I'll just check now and see if we are on air talking about it. Yes, it just chops everything out and then seems to come back again. So that is the fault of Vodafone. I did have the Starlink. I've got it there. I've got it sitting up on the roof. But the problem with it is it uses, we're off grid here, of course, you see in the bunker in an undisclosed location. And it does use a lot of amps. And we only have, I think we have about 500 amp hours. And it's a 48 volt system. Each one of those batteries has 2 volts to it. And we've got 24 of them. But that is only 500 amp hours, and we probably could do with another 500 amps, give us 1,000 amps, that would be good. But I was talking about the thing that's up on the roof. What does he call it? Elon Musk's Starlink, yeah. That uses 1.4 amps all day, every day, and so I've had to switch it off, and I've cancelled them, but it's there, up on the roof, and I can always click it into gear again if I want to. Apparently they'll be up and running within, you know, 20 minutes or something like that. It's 24 minutes to 9. Got a bit of a croaky throat this morning. I'm not sure what's happening. Let's hope I can get through what I'm going to read about now. This is from thecentrist.co.nz, and it's a story by Michael Bassett. Of course, Michael Bassett is a historian, and he asks, which political party will face the issue of our rapidly ballooning underclass? Unemployment benefits were designed to be a permanent income for anyone except for the severely handicapped. In 1966, here in New Zealand, we only had 133 people in the whole country receiving an unemployment benefit and 5,000 people on a sick list benefit. The domestic purposes benefit, or we know that as the DPB, that came into effect in 1974. Would that be under Rob Muldoon? Maybe it was. Would that be Bill Rowling? I don't know. I can't remember. By the turn of the century, unemployment benefits were being paid to 154,000 people, sickness benefits to 33,000 people, and invalids benefit to another 50,000 people. You add that all up, and it looks like about 20% of the New Zealand working age, New Zealanders that are working age, they're all on social welfare benefit of some kind. And so that's just really bad news. The cost for the taxpayer is through the roof. But the calls for yet more assistance is deafening. And Bassett goes on to say all sorts of additional social support problems have followed this easy access for money. You can see it. They include more gangs. We've got way more gangs than we had before because they're all on the dole, even though they're probably dealing in cash as well, and even though the government's trying to stop them dealing in cash with getting tricky with money laundering and that sort of thing. You're not allowed to sell anything or certain things with cash for more than $10,000, and that includes gold and stuff like that. But they don't care about that. They just carry on trading amongst themselves. So it doesn't matter. The other thing is that since COVID, we've had these rampant ram raids, and they've increased as well. And these people are on the dole. And also lower achievement levels at every level of our education system. So how are we going to solve this? According to Michael Bassett, a domestic purposes benefit, the DPB, should have strict time limits and no extra pay for additional children. When someone initially registered for the benefit, when they register, free condoms should be handed out to everybody, and young, oh, I guess, and other things as well. But they should. He thinks they should get free contraceptives. I don't know. They should just not have sex until they're married, until they're in a stable relationship. Young people need to be provided with discipline. Well, that's for sure. And but it's a bit hard to have discipline when you're a bastard in a family with no father. That is the problem. That is the word. That is the term. And I'm not saying that as a swear word. That is the term. If you've got a solo mum looking after you, and dad's not there, you're a bastard. That's what you are. No one's there to look after you. And you can have the boyfriend there, I suppose, but that's not really a proper fatherhood, is it? Education and job training, he says, but I mean, to me, I don't really agree with that because, you know, women should be at home with their children when they're young, especially up to the age of 7 or 8, and even older, really. They need to be there at home. So really, they just need stable men, husbands. They need husbands. These women need to be married in stable relationships before they even think about having kids. And that's my opinion, and it's my opinion only. It's not the opinion of Michael Bassett. He disagrees. He would probably disagree with me. He says that young people need to be provided discipline, education, and job training, and can be financed by money saved from the current lavish welfare top-ups. That is true, but I think for men, yes, definitely they need to have a discipline, make sure you stay at home. But the problem is it's just too easy with the courts to just chuck them out. And then, you know, the usual thing is, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, doesn't matter. They always pull the, what do they call it? They put some sort of a restraint on the husband, on the boyfriend or whatever. They kick him out and they get the house or they get the flat or whatever it is and all the furniture that goes with it. And then she's on her own on the DPB and he's out floundering around living in the car in a sleeping bag or something like that. And while she gets all the money and he gets nothing. That happens too. So it's not a happy place at the moment. New Zealand is really geared towards women, solo mums in particular. And so it's not a good place for men in marriage. That's why so many men, I think, are avoiding the whole idea of marriage and even living with someone for more than a couple of years. You've got to be really careful. But I don't condone living with people, even though that's what I have done in my earlier years. I do not believe that was right and that what I did was wrong. It's 14 to 9, and so that was a story that I sort of had my opinion on. And, of course, we are allowed to have our own opinions, and that's the great thing about the about us, about the centre-right. We're not far-right activists, we're not crazy people, but we do believe in freedom of speech and freedom of expression, of course, in any form, all forms. That's what it says. That's what Geoffrey Palmer and another one of his pals, they penned. I think he was a knighted, Sir Geoffrey Palmer, and that's what he penned and put together, and now it's in our law and under the Bora, the 1990 New Zealand Bill of Rights Act, and yet we watch the government ride roughshod over that using health, just like the Nazis did during the Second World War. They said the Jews had disease and that they were spreading typhus, and it's just that they were being kept in terrible conditions, and that's why they got typhus, because they were run down because of their conditions that they were pushed into. And that, honestly, the Jews have been maligned for thousands of years, and that's because they are the enemy of our accuser. They are the enemy of what the Bible calls the God of this world. And he is the father of lies. He runs this show and he likes to offer money. He does it by offering money and power. And that's why we live in such a wicked world at the moment. But it's all going to end one day. It will end at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. 14 minutes to 9. And why don't we also have a look and see what's happening at NZ News Essentials just before I wrap up with that is a good publication, thecentrist.co.nz. I'm very, very impressed with it. And there's two URLs as well, the Centrist and also just centrist.co.nz. They've covered all the bases. Good story there by Michael Bassett. Let's have a look at let's just whip back to the NZ News Essentials. I really do like that. And they've got this story. It was about, here's one about, we've gone off again. We've gone offline. So this seems to be happening quite a bit. So we're off right now. So hopefully we'll come back on again. So I don't know. I'll try and connect. Here, I just watched that we have gone off. We're back again now, it looks as though. And I'll just try and finish the story. So awfully sorry. I don't know what's happening, but it seems to be Vodafone just cutting us on and off. And it's been kind of happening intermittently all morning, and it just happened then. 12 minutes to 9, and let's have a look at a story, another story from NZ News Essentials. Hipkins at the World Economic Forum, WEF, the World Economic Forum, not news, that's not news. Our news media aren't saying anything about it. He had a short meet and greet with China's president, which that was huge on the news, Xi Jinping. He met with him. So this is the brief for that story, and it was a lack of media coverage in the lead up to Hipkins' appearance at the World Economic Forum in China. In contrast, there was an overwhelming fuss about his meeting with China's Xi Jinping. Shouldn't there have been more talk of his World Economic Forum attendance to nip in the bud conspiracy theories? Definitely there should be. There should be transparency. This report at nznewsessentials.com goes on to say that the World Economic Forum is fertile ground for conspiracy theories, so attendees should openly discuss it. I absolutely agree with that. Looking at another story here on NZ News Essentials, and we've just gone offline again. That is most peculiar. We have gone offline again. I'll try and connect. I'm not sure why we just keep dropping out. I hope it's not my computer. I might have to restart the computer. So, yes, we just went off again. It's 11 minutes to 9 with Grant Edwards on the Liberty NZ Breakfast 4th of July special. And we're back on again. So it seems to be dropping out. So I'll just try and have another look at that story that I was about to read. It's 10 minutes to 9. And let's just see if they will let us. It's all a bit slow at the moment. Don't know what's happening. So that is Vodafone, which is now called One World, I think, isn't it? One New Zealand or something like that. We've gone off again. So it looks as though we're not able to really get connected. It just seems to be dropping in and out. That is a shame. I don't know who's doing it. I don't know whether it's Vodafone or whether it's my laptop who's running this whole program. I run it with a laptop and a mobile phone. You wouldn't believe it, but I do. So we're still not connected. So we will be going to auto, no doubt we'll be off to auto auto DJ, that'll be happening. And that might be the end of the program for as far as the online streaming is concerned. You can catch the Liberty NZ, you can catch it, us at rumble.com, and we've got the live stream there, but there'll be some blanks in it, I would think. I'm just be interesting to see what happens with Rumble. But of course, it's completely... Oh no, we're back again. I'm still trying to connect. And so we're definitely off as far as the stream is concerned. I think Zeno FM, although it says it's back on. Yep, we're back on now. It's at 9 minutes to 9. What a shambles. So we went off. When did we zip off then? We're back on 27 seconds ago. We came back on. So that is not so good. So we've been on and off all morning. I think by the sound of it, a lot of people have been telling me that it's been very intermittent, and it does seem to be either. Well, I think what it is Vodafone themselves. Is it One New Zealand? Yep, they've got a problem there because we just keep dropping in and out. I can't see why it would be at our end at all. Everything else seems to be running okay. And so we were talking about the Centrist, and then I moved to NZ News Essentials and I got cut off. I couldn't actually read that story. We wanted to talk about what is the New Zealand policy on puberty blockers. And the brief for this one that you can see at nznewsessentials.com is that New Zealand welcomes its rainbow community, but promoting transitional drugs to children is another matter. Health New Zealand no longer says puberty blockers are safe and fully reversible, yet the government funds charities that promote the use of puberty blockers without the cautions. More political interference in medicine? We think so. The people at NZ News Essential think so. Read that story in full at nznewsessentials.com. And also, before we finish today, I want to mention our friends at the Chantel Baker and Phil and the others at Operation People. You'll find them at operationpeople.com. First thing you need to do when you get in there is to give them your email so that if anything happens, they go offline because they've already had their Facebook page shut down. They've started another one, but they have them shut down. They always start them as fast as they get closed down. They're on YouTube as well. But the best place and the most sensible thing to do so that you know they can give you the information that you need to hear about instead of hearing nonsense from the mainstream media is to go to operationpeople.com and give them your email address. Absolutely very important. What I might do now, because it looks as though we're sort of like chopping in and out, so I might just give you the latest forecast, the short forecast. I'm just going to check and see if there's a new one that's come through. The last one was at 10 to 7 and for today, and I'll just do a quick check and see if we've got something new coming in or whether it's the same one. Yes, it looks as though it is the same forecast, nothing new. There'll be a new one after 9, I think. Well, it might be 10 when it comes out, I'm not sure. 7 minutes to 9, and we'll probably just cut this stream short, and because it's just so intermittent, it seems to be right at the moment. Anyway, let's have a look and see what the highs are. First of all, Kaitaia, you've got the highest temperature at 14.4 degrees. Twizel, it has the lowest at minus 0.8 degrees. The windiest at the moment is at Nugent Point, 63 kilometres per hour, and the wettest is Westport on the South Island's west coast with 1.4 millimetres of rain falling right now. Let's have a look at the short forecast, shall we? We'll do that, and it's valid until midnight tonight. For Northland to Manawatu, also Coromandel Peninsula and the Central High Country, cloudy periods, isolated showers, gale force westerlies for Coromandel Peninsula and the Central High Country. For the Bay of Plenty, Gisborne, Hawke's Bay and the Wairarapa, fine apart from a few areas of morning cloud in the Bay of Plenty. For Horowhenua, Kapiti Coast and Wellington, fine apart from possible light showers north of Wellington. For Nelson and the South Island, Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury, fine weather for you today, a wonderful day. For Buller and Westland, showers north of Hokitika, easing towards evening, mainly fine in the south. For Otago, Southland, Fiordland, showers, some heavy in Southland and Clutha this morning, showers becoming isolated in the afternoon and clearing central and north Otago. Gale force southwesterlies, which are going to dry everything out, which is great. They're going to be in exposed places. So yes, we do need a bit of wind, but not too heavy, not dangerously windy, but a good breeze actually dries everything all out. That's what our friends are telling us up in the far north, and in Northland as well, that that day yesterday with just a few showers was okay, but the wind was really good, and we had a very strong wind report from Northland in the early hours of this morning and late last night as well. Pretty windy up there. You're in the Chatham Islands, you've got showers, possibly heavy and thundery in the afternoon. Southwesterlies rising to gale force in exposed places. That is the weather. We'll have just a quick look and see if there's any new thing happening overseas that we need to know about. A quick refresh of Reuters in Los Angeles. Thousands of Los Angeles area hotel workers went on strike earlier today, demanding pay hikes and improved benefits in a region where high housing costs make it difficult for low wage earners to live close to where they hold their jobs, according to the union official. And that was just a moment ago. In Dakar, President Macky Sall will not run for the election in 2024. He said in a speech earlier today, ending widespread speculation that he would seek a third term, which his critics said would be illegal. And also, British electric vehicle startup Arrival SA. Startup Arrival, that's what they call themselves. Arrival SA said today that it would determine plans to merge with the special purpose acquisition company SPAC, Kensington Capital Acquisition Corp V, whatever that means. And what else is happening? We saw that the Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky and German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, they called earlier today for the extension of a deal allowing safe export of grain and fertilizers from three Ukrainian Black Sea ports, according to an official. And US judges halt healthcare bans for transgender youth in state after state. Conservative lawmakers this year have banned medical procedures for transgender, transvestites, aren't they? Now a growing number of federal judges are blocking those laws from taking effect, and that's good news as well. Tesla shares jump up 7% earlier today after better-than-expected quarterly deliveries, showing that Chief Executive Elon Musk plans of boosting volumes through discounts is working. And in Moscow, they say that 700,000 children from Ukraine, that is from the war zone in Ukraine, are now in Russia. So Russia has brought some 700,000 children from the conflict zones in Ukraine to Russian territory, according to Kurashkin. That's the head of the International Committee for the Federation Council, Russia's upper house of parliament. He said that late Sunday, which is early Monday morning. Oh, that's a wee bit old. So that is international news. Just to have a quick look and see if there's anything new on national news. Nothing really. MP delays chatting with Kerry Allen as he jets off to Europe for trade talks and NATO meeting. Oh, no. He's like a schoolboy, isn't he? I don't know. I'd like to see him in socks. Long socks, I think. He would look really good with a school bag and a school tie and a cap. I think he'd be more suited to be a schoolboy. We've got a schoolboy running our country. Also, more than 6,000 overseas healthcare employees join New Zealand's workforce. So what's happened is we've just imported a whole lot of people. We mandated our people out of a job because they wouldn't be wouldn't take an experimental biological agent, the mRNA so-called vaccine, the fake vaccine that didn't work. And they still, do you realise they still have to be jabbed? And so all these people that are coming in, they're all got to be jabbed as well. And now what we're left with is a whole bunch of state doctors and state nurses, that they will follow the orders of the state and not what they've been taught at medical college and training college, nurses training college and medical school. So we've got them now. So all those people that were doctors, and I know plenty of them, they're now no longer working because they are great doctors, not state doctors. They won't be told what to do by people that don't know anything about medicine. And people like Hipkins and Ardern don't know anything about medicine. And even Ashley Bloomfield, he hadn't seen a patient for 25 years. And Fauci, that murderer of a man, Fauci, he should never have been allowed anywhere near the health department over there under Trump. Should not have been allowed. What he did, if you look at the movie by Mickey Willis, M-I-K-K-I, Mickey Willis is the writer and director of the incredible documentary film The Great Awakening. He mentions Fauci, and back 30 years ago when the AIDS pandemic came out, it was Fauci's drug that he pushed, and he said that it was safe and effective, and that killed Mickey Willis's brother. That was that drug that killed him, and that's what killed most of the, in fact, if not all. They were all very run down. They're all drug takers. Their bodies were run down. And if you listen to Dr. Sam Bailey and her husband, Dr. Mark Bailey, a couple of New Zealanders with 30 years shared experience between them, they would say that that Fauci was way out of order. There was no evidence that it was that AIDS or the AIDS virus. There was no virus. They can't identify it as a virus. It's never been properly. That's just a fake thing that they brought in. So the pharmaceutical companies and Fauci there just making a huge amount of money. That's where the money went. And these people, they said they had a virus and they didn't. They were just run down drug users. And a lot of homosexuals use drugs as well, things like amyl nitrate and other things, I'm told. And so that's why these people died. They were just completely run down because their bodies were stuffed and had nothing to do with a virus. They didn't catch some. It's not some gay virus. It was all to do with, and they just used that. And because so the book to read really is one that New Zealand Dr. Sam Bailey is a co-author in, and it's called Virus Mania. I would highly recommend that you have a look at that before you start going on and start believing all this nonsense about viruses. I don't. I'm trained as a homeopath. I don't believe viruses even exist. Many of us don't. And there's lots of really very good doctors and even virologists now that realise that they've had the wrong paradigm, and they're thinking that it's something. When they look at these things under electron microscope, they think they can see a virus. And even Kerry Mallis, you know, he just couldn't stand Fauci because he said he's an idiot, didn't know anything about anything, according to Kerry Mallis, who I think suspiciously had a heart attack just months before the 2010 when the COVID came out, just months. And he's the inventor of the PCR test. Yeah, that's Kerry Mullis, K-A-R-L, Mullis, M-U-L-L. IS. You want to go and have a look at some of his, what he says about Fauci. We sometimes play it here on the program. 2 minutes past nine, that's my lot. I don't think there's anything else to talk about on the front page. I better have a look here, Labour. I just want just one more. We're reading from News Hub. And my goodness, you've got to be careful what you read on News Hub. The Mongrel Mob meetings alleged staff, what's this here? Mongrel Mob meetings alleged staff mistreatment. And Chris Hipkins faces central migraine over MPs mishaps. Well, now he's off again. Now he's off to NATO trade talks. He'll be meeting with Klaus again, I suppose. Meeting with that half-wit and just a puppet of the US government, a puppet of NATO, and that is Volodymyr Zelensky. And, you know, his, it is just despicable what's going on in Ukraine right now. Very corrupt, always has been. And Western people, Western leaders have been making a fortune out of corruption in Ukraine, and now here we are, they're wanting to have a war with Russia. The West wants to have a war with Russia. Just crazy ideologues, according to Colonel Douglas McGregor. Just absolute nutcases, and they just don't know where it's going to end. They're fighting Russia. They've awoken the bear. That is the most crazy thing they could ever do. And they're using, the most despicable thing is, that I just cannot forgive them for, and that is that they are using our men and women here in New Zealand, Australia, Canada, France, all of the NATO people are training these young and now sometimes old, because they've decimated the military in Ukraine, the Russians have, and rightly so, you know, as far from Zelensky, from Putin's point of view, he's doing a good job for his country. And he's a very powerful leader, and he is way more powerful than the West are trying to make out. The Ukraine has been decimated. The NATO has been using the soldiers of Ukraine as cannon fodder for a proxy war between NATO and the USSR. We are at war with the USSR. We're in the wrong. We're the bad guys in all of this. So to find out more about that, Colonel Douglas McGregor on YouTube. Hopefully he's still there. I'm surprised they haven't shut him down, actually. He's a former White House advisor to the Trump administration. And if Trump gets back in, which everyone's hoping that he will, looks like he's going to. Anyway, if he gets back in, and I'm pretty sure he will, unless there's some incredible, electoral fraud or something, some shenanigans goes on. Then I would say that Colonel Douglas McGregor will be back aiding and advising the president on what's happening there. And I think he is one of the people that will push for an end to this war. And Trump says that he could end this war within 24 hours. And you know what? I believe that. I really do. I do. I know he's a blowhard. There's that about him I don't like. But I think he is a good man at heart. And I think what I like about him, he's not a globalist. Because a globalist, we know, we read our Bible, we know that they're going to turn, they're setting up this whole place for the Antichrist, who's going to rule the whole of the world from Europe initially, and then he's going to move his headquarters to Jerusalem. That's what he's going to do, and he's going to pretend that he is Jesus Christ, I believe. He's going to pretend that he comes from the royal bloodline of the house of David, and you can find out a bit about that mystery and how he's going to do it. I'd say that that if you read the book by Michael Bagent, Richard Lee, and Henry Lincoln, and I think one of them there is actually a New Zealander, they wrote this book back in the late 80s called Holy Blood, Holy Grail. And in that book, they wrongly assume that Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross, that he sired children with Mary Magdalene, either a replacement or someone else went up on the cross, or he was revived. And so his children, the descendants of Jesus Christ, are alive and well today. And that's, they've been, I think they call them the Prieurs de Sion, and that's, I think they're in, well, they're in Europe. And that doesn't surprise me, because all the wealth of Babylon came down through the Medes and the Persians, that they took all the wealth from Babylon. And then the Grecians, when they invaded the Medes and the Persians, they got all the wealth, all the gold, and all that wealth came to the Greeks. Then when the Romans attacked the Greeks, they took over, and all that wealth down from Babylon through Medo-Persia into the Greeks, and then the Romans, of course, they've got all the wealth from Babylon. And so the Bible tells us at the end that it'll be like a 10-nation confederacy, and that's symbolic of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had, and Daniel interpreted that dream for him, of the 10 toes, which will be 10 kingdoms. It doesn't say 10 nations. It doesn't say 10 states. It says 10 kingdoms. And so those 10 kingdoms, there'll be a little horn that comes out from within them. And I believe he'll be a political leader. I believe he'll be a Jew, has to be a Jew, because only a Jew could enter into the temple and set up an image of himself. and I believe that he will be a homosexual, because the Bible tells us, I can't just quite quote the verse, but it does tell us that he's not too fond of women, and so he'll be a homosexual Jew. Some say he's going to be a Syrian. I doubt that very much. I think he'll be a European homosexual Jew, and he will be the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist is not just a normal human being. He is, until he receives a mortal wound. And I believe this man will be assassinated, and he'll lie in state for 3 days and 3 nights, symbolic as a counterfeit of Jesus Christ lying in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights and then rising from the dead. This fellow, Satan, will miraculously bring him back, and Jesus Christ, God will allow this, bring him back to life again, and then Satan will enter into him fully. So the Bible's devil, Satan himself, the god of this world, the one that actually runs this world at the moment, because the keys to this earth have been given to him. He was cast out of heaven, and now he's the god of this world. People don't realize it. We don't realize that we're actually in enemy territory. So he will run for just a short time, 7 years. That's Jewish calendar years, 7 lunar years. And then at the end of that time, the Lord Jesus Christ will return to earth, and he will destroy that man and that devil. The false prophet too, which I believe will probably be the Pope. I think that would be more likely. He will help bring him to power, just as the popes helped bring Hitler to power. Hitler was kind of a type of Antichrist. So was Mussolini. And so there's a lot of them. Alexander the Great, all these people, they thought were the Antichrist. A lot of them did. I know that my father thought, well, we wonder if Hitler was the Antichrist. Well, he was a type of Antichrist, but he's not the Antichrist. He's coming. And whether you're a pre-tribulation rapturist, which means that the Bible promises that the children of God will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, whether that happens just before the 7-year period begins or halfway through, 3.5 years, when it gets really tough, and that's when this Antichrist is going to cause all of you people that aren't saved, that aren't Christians, he's going to cause you to receive a mark in your right hand, not on. You need to get a King James Bible to find out the truth of the matter. In your right hand or in your forehead, that you can't say, buy, sell or exchange except you have that mark. And that's for everybody, whether you're a slave, whether you're a prisoner, whether you're a young child. I think babies will even have that mark. Nobody can buy or sell except they have that. And it also tells us that those people that take that mark, they receive noisome sores. They develop these noisome sores, and noisome just means smelly sores. So I believe there's something more than just a trading cashless society that you have with whatever they put in your whatever this Antichrist forces everyone to have, this mark that you can't buy or sell. If you do take that mark in your head or in your forehead, in your hand, right hand, it's going to be not left, the right hand, and in your forehead, if you take that, there is no way that you can go to heaven. It is off the cards for you, because the Bible tells us that all those that took the mark cannot be saved. And so that is a very scary thought for us. And I think that's something that we need to really consider, need to take the Bible seriously. It is, I know that a lot of people that have been brought up in the Roman Catholic Church, they've been just put off the Bible because they haven't had the Bible preached to them. They haven't had it taught to them. They've had a Babylonian goddess worship under the guise of Roman Catholicism, and they pretend that that is biblical Christianity. It is not. The Roman Catholic system of religion is the enemy of the Lord's people. And that's my lot today. I hope I've made it really clear that you cannot take that mark of the beast. And what worries me is, if you can't say no to a mask, if you can't say no to a fake vaccine that they pushed on us over the last 2.5 years, how on earth will you say no to the mark of the beast? Because once you take that mark in your right hand or in your forehead, it's not Sunday worship. Don't go listening to the Seventh-day Adventists. They're talking absolute fiddlesticks. They are a false cult. They're the most dangerous cult of all. Much more dangerous than the Mormons, much more dangerous than the Roman Catholics, which is the largest cult of all, far more dangerous. The Seventh-day Adventists are so dangerous because they're so close to the truth. They believe in Jesus. They believe you need to repent of your sins and call out to him, call upon him and ask him to save you. They believe all that. But then they want to put you back under the law. You've got to keep the Ten Commandments, including the Sabbath, which people that study the Bible and study it well and aren't influenced by, what's her name? White. E.G. White. Ellen G. White. They're not influenced by her, who was proven to be a plagiarist and a false prophet. And the Bible tells us that we're not to listen to women, aren't to be in positions of teaching like that. That's not their place to be doing that. And so all these people listen to her teachings, which is going to lead you to hell, because the Bible's really clear that it's not Sunday worship at all. It says that this beast, he's a man. And I know sometimes they refer to the beast as different cities or countries, but in this instance, in Revelation 13, verse 16 to 18, it's referring to as the mark of the beast, and he causeth all. It's literally, it's so simple, really. You can't buy or sell without it, and it's in. So it could be a chip, I don't know. But the one thing that I am starting to believe is that inside that chip, there'll also be medication where they can actually operate, they can hack your body, just like that Harari guy, that Jewish guy that's part of the World Economic Forum, a Jewish homosexual. He hates God, and he hates God because he's a homosexual, and the Bible says that to lie with a man is an abomination. For a mankind to lie with another man is an abomination to the Lord, and he hates that, and he hates God, and he's doing everything he can to make you think that you're living, you've been here, that this earth has been around for billions of years. It has not. The Bible tells us exactly how long it is. It's 6,000 years old. Man has been here. There's no evidence whatsoever that there's no evidence of man that's older than about 5-something years old. You can't see it. All these fake things about prehistoric man that they've found, they're all fake, proven to be fake. And so you have this huge headline in the paper or on the TV saying, oh, we've found this Neanderthal man. But what they don't tell you is that all of them have been proven to be fakes. The people to go and talk about that would be Kent Hovind, H-O-V-I-N-D, yes, and also Creation Research as well. I can't remember the guy, Ken Ham, that's right, he's an Australian, he's over in the States, he's got that huge ARC project. Those people know what they're talking about. The Earth is not billions of years old. It is certainly not. I mean, the matter may be, don't know, but the Bible tells us that it's around 6,000 years, and the Lord's going to return very soon. It's all being set up. These people are setting up this earth for the Antichrist, for the devil himself in human form to come to earth and to make war against more of the Lord's people, the Jews, and the Christians. They are the enemy. We are the enemy. And so that is what's happening. It's 9:15. I hope I haven't turned you off too much talking about biblical things, but I do believe that we do need to start thinking seriously. And one thing that I do know for sure, when the Bible says something, it always comes true. This is Grant Edwards on the Liberty NZ Breakfast.